Colossians 1:15, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church," or head of the body, the church, "who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that are with there, or sorry, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your own, in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Verse 23, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, help us tonight, Lord, as we open up your scripture. Help us tonight as we try to get some things from it to help us and learn from, Lord, about how important you are in our life and how you should be at the center of everything in our life as well. Be with us, be with our young people on the Navajo as well as they're being used of you tonight in the next few hours. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A few Wednesdays ago, I believe it was last time, when we were in beginning of Colossians 1, Paul showed us a life that makes Christ look good. Do you remember that? A life that makes Christ look good. Not that you look good or that you can make Christ look good, but people through your life see a better Jesus, right? See a better Christ. Someone who is worthy to pray to, someone who is worthy to talk to. And Paul, he prayed for a worthy walk, fruitfulness, strength, and gratitude. Then he reminded us that the Father delivered us from darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that final phrase opens the door to one of the clearest declarations of the glory of Jesus Christ anywhere in Scripture. Paul now answers the question, who is the Son whose kingdom has received us? Who is it? Christianity tonight cannot survive with a small Christ. How big is Christ to you? How big is he in your family? How big is he with what you have? Tonight I want to preach a message, Christ above everything. Christ above everything. The danger of this at Colossae was not that men would erase the name of Jesus. Error is usually more subtle. It keeps Jesus' vocabulary talking about Jesus while moving him away from the center. Christ is called important, but not enough. They add philosophy, or they add ceremony, or they add angelic experience, or they add human traditions, or they keep Jesus in the message, but do not let him be everything. That has become a huge part of churches today. The name of Jesus is said, but it is not the center. It's false advertisement. They take Jesus and blast him all over the place, but what they do has nothing to do with the Bible. They have created a church today. Churches in America are churches that our flesh loves. Our church enjoys. Our flesh is comforted at these new churches in our day, in our society today. Yet the name of Jesus is their cover. The name of Jesus is what kind of hate? Why do you have so much hate? We talk about Jesus all the time. We mention him in our songs. We mention his name from the pulpit. You see, just mentioning the name of Jesus is not enough. Amen. We can mention his name all we want, but is he at the center of everything we do individually? Is he the center of everything the church is about? Most spiritual error begins by making Christ smaller than Scripture makes him. In Scripture, we read of a great Christ, a big Christ. If you believe that, say amen. These verses here in this that I just read, they're not cold theology. They have us worship. They gave us worship, stability, courage, daily surrender. What we believe about Christ determines how we pray, how we serve, how we face fear, and how we make decisions. Because if Christ is just, if he's only a helper, we will call on him when life breaks down. If he is only a teacher, we will consult him for advice. If he is one part of life, we will fit him around our preferences. But if he is the creator, if he is the sustainer, if he is the head and the reconciler, he does not ask for a place in our life. He owns it all. He owns everything. You are bought with a, say it with me, you are bought with a price. Christianity cannot survive a small Christ. Your children cannot survive with a small Christ in the home. Christ, here in Colossians, is not one option among many. He is before all things, over all things, the source of all things, the goal of all things, and he must have first place in everything that we do. Number one tonight, Christ reveals the invisible God. Christ reveals the invisible God. Go to verse 15, if you will. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? God is invisible. If someone tells you they've seen God, well, they're calling the Bible a liar. God is what, saith me? God is invisible. We cannot discover him by climbing higher or thinking deeper or behaving better. If God is known, he must reveal himself. Paul says that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Christ is not merely just a good man who resembles God. He is not a faint copy of God. In the Son, the invisible God has made himself known. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Do I understand it all the way? Do I understand the Trinity? Do I understand how they're all the same? No, but I believe it. I believe it. If Jesus says he is Christ, then he's Christ. If God says he's Christ, then he's Christ. If Christ says he's Jesus, then he's Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Do you? Where is Christ in your life? How big is he? Is church just a thing on your schedule that you do? Is he in your life throughout the week? Do your kids, do your grandchildren, like we talked about this morning, do they see Christ top of the list for you? When they think of grandma, when they think of grandpa, when they think of mama, when they think of dad, and as they get older, do they look back and think, wow, Christ was at the highest priority in their life? There is no questioning that. People often admire a Jesus of their own making. They welcome his gentle teaching, but reject the Holy Lord. They appreciate his compassion, but resist his commands. They want a Christ who comforts without ruling and forgives without changing. It saddens me, the type of Jesus that we have created in our life. Hey, we do not have the right to edit Jesus. I don't care what technology we have. We don't have the right to edit Jesus. He is not clay in our hands that we are to mold him. We are clay in his hands. He is the image of the invisible God and the Lord over every creature. The Jesus that we have created is a Jesus that our flesh wants. A Jesus that is satisfying to the things that we want. Christianity today, it saddens me to think what people call Christianity, and they think if they just say they believe in Jesus, then everything is okay. And I can live in freedom and I can do whatever I want. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to do whatever you want. He died on the cross and you belong to him. I belong to him. We were bought with a price. I don't know about you, but someone who's done something that great for me, if someone did something for you and it was very kind of them and they bought you a brand new car and wanted to be a blessing. They saw you were having vehicle problems and showed up one day and gave you the keys to a brand new vehicle and they said they wanted to be a blessing. As a human being, what's your natural inclination towards that person? For one, you're thankful, but you feel like you owe them, right? You want to do something for them. Hopefully that's what you feel like doing. If someone was to buy you a vehicle, man, I want to do something kind for them. Hopefully at the least, I'm going to write them a note. a thank you card, right? We awake tonight? All right, good. We want to do something for them. Hey, Jesus Christ, God gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me. If you owe him something tonight, would you shake your head? Putting you in a position to have to move tonight. You owe him something. I owe him something. I owe him my life. I don't just owe him a Sunday night and a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night at church. I owe him a whole lot more. I owe him 24/7 every single week. And it's constant. You know what? I could never do enough. You could never do enough. But I believe as good independent Baptist Christians, I believe if you're in a room here on a Sunday night at Blessed Hill Baptist Church, well, you have good intentions and you believe the truth and you believe the right, but I don't care who you are. There are times where things in your life get preeminence, get higher priority than Christ does in your life. My hands up. Happens to the best of us. Happens to the worst of us. It happens. Things get out of whack. And this world kind of gets in the way. But tonight, I want us to remind ourselves who he is, how worthy he is, and what our duty is as a Christian. Number two, Christ rules all creation. He says in verse 16, go there real quick. Or verse 16, yes. Where is it at? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and his before all things, and by him all things consist. Paul piles phrase after phrase. Notice the repeated words. He says, all things, heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Nothing exists outside of his creative authority. A young lady, she's not here tonight, so I'll mention this, but young lady this morning, her mom raised her hand for salvation in the service. And my wife went and talked to her, and this girl had a lot of questions, a lot of things that she's been taught from the public school and from different people about the Big Bang and science and how she doesn't know, is Jesus real? Is the Bible even true? And she just had all these questions talking to my wife. And we're going to try to follow up with her and get her to realize that he is real. I was telling my wife, I said, one of the best ways that you could ever talk to somebody is, remember how the Bible talks about having simple faith, like the size of a mustard seed, childlike faith. See, the problem is when someone becomes educated and they get filled with wrong information, it becomes difficult for them to have childlike faith. So I was telling my wife, I said, one of the best things we can do for this young girl is, she doesn't even know if this is true. So you could read her a verse from this and she'd be like, whatever, I don't know. I don't even know, is Jesus real? So I told my wife, I said, one of the best things you can do for this girl is just talk to her logically about life. How did we get here? So you believe in the Big Bang Theory. That takes a lot more faith than what I have to do to believe in Jesus. Where did the stuff that was supposedly, that was banged together, where did that stuff come from? Where did all that matter that hit? Where did that come from? And then talk to her about the human body and how incredible it is made and how it all works and go through the different parts of it. And then animals. Now, every animal on planet Earth has a purpose, has a reason. God put them here. Somebody put them here for a reason. Down to the ant, every single animal has a purpose. The grass, photosynthesis, everything on our planet, everything just works so perfectly together. Somebody had to create this. Name one thing in your life that you've just thrown together, smacked against, and it's just something incredible, beautiful, magnificent came out of that. Get them to the point where they realize, okay, the Big Bang is pretty dumb. Who came up with this? And then, do you know who created that? Who wrote? Darwin wrote that. Have you ever read about what he, do you know who that man is? Do you know what the things that he believed? And start teaching them things about what has been, all that girl knows is what's been taught to her. And all that's been taught to her is false information. You're going to run into people as a Christian. You've been given truth. Hey, too much is given, much shall be required. Man, it's our job first. Hey, teach them somebody created us. And if you can get them to believe, and in today's technology, you can look up videos online of artifacts that they have found that have proven the Bible true time and time and time again. It is so fascinating. These archaeologists find things all the time that prove different parts of Scripture in the Old Testament that they have found that prove, what in the world? The Bible mentioned this, and this has been buried all these years. No other artifact, no other book on planet Earth has ever said anything about this except the Bible. And all of a sudden, scientists all of a sudden realize, maybe the Bible is true. And then once you can get them to believe, hey, maybe there is a creator. Well, that creator is Jesus. Let me tell you about him from the Bible. Let me prove some things from the Bible. And then once you get them to believe that this is the truth, then you got them. Then you can show them how great Christ is and show them how they can get saved. You have been in a position where you and I have been given the truth. Some of us in this room, how many of you say it was difficult for you to get saved? There was a lot of information I'd be given to you. Is there someone here in this room? Okay, a few of you have, okay. Some of us, I grew up, all I knew was church. I wasn't given false information, thank God. But in a world like today and all the different religions, there's a lot of things that get filtered through the minds with the kids that we bring on the buses and all the things that they hear in their homes or on the bus or in their public schools and the teachers that teach them. There's a lot of false information about creation. But you and I know Christ rules all of what? Creation. Amen. All of it. He is in charge of it. And anything that we get to have, he's given to us. All things, the Bible says, were created by him. Jesus Christ is not part of creation. He is the creator. I think of a building like the Empire State Building and how incredible and how big that building is and how it would be unlogical and people would call you dumb. And someone said, yeah, there were some things, some matter and different things in space, and they just threw it together and boom, that just appeared there. Now people crawl up to the top all the time. It's incredible. That would sound foolish, correct? But that somehow they have taken the foolishness of this world and created Darwinism and the Big Bang Theory and science and all these different things to try to tell people that God is not real. Do you think Satan's involved in that? Absolutely. Hey, it's your job, it's my job to reach those people and give them, find a way to get the truth into them, filter that truth into them. All things were created by him. Then the Bible talks about all things were created for him. This is where the text becomes personal. Creation came not only from Christ, but for Christ. He is the source and the goal. Our lives are not private property to spend on whatever makes us comfortable. Hey, we were made by him. Sin is using Christ's property for a purpose other than Christ. I'm gonna ask you this, some questions. What part of your life are you spending as though it were made only for you? Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your free time, your gifts, your marriage, your ambitions, your body. Every part, the Bible says, was made by him and what? For him. Hey, he is before all things, the Bible says. Before there was a beginning, Christ already was. Don't ask me to explain that part because I don't know. But he was here before he created the world. Before the first sunrise, the first angel, matter or time or space, the sun existed in eternal glory. Do you serve that Jesus tonight? Say amen. If that's your Christ, hey, he is not improving. He's not aging. He's not learning or becoming. He is before all things, the Bible says. And by him, all things consist. Hey, that word consist means to hold together. I'm glad you and me are not in charge of the world. I'm glad that we've got a creator. Hey, creation is not a machine Christ built and wound up and then abandoned and walked away from. The one who called it into existence continually sustains it. Its orders, laws, and continuing life are upheld by him. In the year 1990, Voyage 1 was beyond Neptune, 3.7 billion miles from the sun. And before the spacecraft powered off its cameras forever, mission controllers told it to turn around and take one final look toward home, it sent back the famous pale blue dot. Anybody seen that picture before? All right. From that distance, Earth, the home of every empire, every cemetery, every church, in every sinner was only about one pixel of light. Think of that. All of our proud arguments, crowded schedules, private fears, and great ambitions are happening on that tiny speck. Yet the Bible says that God sent his son to this tiny speck, and he took a body and lived here. And then he suffered on that tiny speck for you and for me because he loves us and he cares about us. And the things that are on this tiny speck sometimes get way more priority in our life for some reason. Boy, if we viewed earth, if we viewed life from heaven's viewpoint, boy, we would change things. If God gave you one opportunity to go live one day up in heaven and just look down upon yourself living life, I think you would come back and live a lot different. I would come back a lot different. We would value things way differently than what we value them now. Our human nature wants to value what the world has to offer and the things that we can get in the short amount of time. And when we get extra money, we want to spend to make us happy, happy, happy. And God says, give me priority in your life. Hey, give more to missions when you get extra money. Give to the cause of Christ. Do something with the things that I'm giving you. When I bless you, bless someone else or bless something in your life. We've got a short time here on earth to do something for him, but when we get our priorities out of whack and Christ is no longer prominent, then all of a sudden, Satan starts getting the victory in our life. Hey, the hands that were nailed to the cross were the hands holding the universe together. The voice that cried, "It is finished," was the voice that called the worlds into existence. Here is comfort for the troubled believer. The one holding all things together can hold you together. Say amen to that. Amen. Your life may feel scattered, shattered, but your Lord is not struggling. History is not slipping from his control. Hey, when the world feels as though it is coming apart, remember that Christ has never dropped what he created. Whatever he started, he's going to finish. And what he started in your life, he will finish it if you let him. Number three tonight, Christ reigns over the church. Christ reigns over the church. Look at verse number 18 tonight. It says, and he is the, what does it say? He is the head of the body, the church. Did it say your name? Yes or no? Did it say my name? Did it say pastor? Did it say the governor? No, it says he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Paul moves from creation to the new creation, from the universe to the church. The creator is the head of the body and the church. A body does not vote on whether it needs its head. I don't know if yours did that or not, but mine did not. Just came together. The head gives direction and is essential to life. But the church belongs to Christ. It does not belong to a pastor, does not belong to a family, does not belong to a board, or does not belong to a generation. It does not belong to the loudest voice. The church belongs to who? Say it with me. Whatever name you want to say of his. Amen. Whatever name you want to call him. It belongs to him. Sometimes churches get things backwards and the people get things backwards. And all of a sudden, church becomes all about preference and what we want rather than what is glorifying to Christ. What is going to further the gospel here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? What is going to make our church look great in God's eyes, not in our community's eyes? Hey, any theology that doesn't place Jesus first is false. Amen. Thank you, brother. Let me say that again. Any theology that doesn't place Jesus first is false. Amen. I gave you a layup there, all right? That was the easy one for you to say amen to. It's false. Yet we're surrounded by churches all over here in Southern Indiana that preach a false gospel. Or maybe they do preach the gospel, but they don't preach anything else. They'll give you the gospel, and then if you want any more help, we ain't giving it to you. It's too hard to preach the rest. Some of you have gone to those churches and no longer in those churches, thank God. Thank God you're now in a church that preaches the truth. I don't know about you, but I like being told straight up the truth. I don't, when someone comes to me and says, do you want the whole truth or half truth? Who says, ah, just give me a half truth, man? Anybody want that? No, just give it to me straight. I don't like hearing it straight, but I want it straight. You know why? Because there's always a mystery. When you get a half truth, there's a mystery, right? Your kids tell you a half truth. Parents, you know, when, oh, okay, I'm not getting the full story here. Something's off. And as a parent, your parent wheel starts spinning. All right, I'm going to get down to the bottom of this. You're not satisfied with a half truth, correct? I want the whole truth. Hey, when I come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, man, I'm thankful that wherever I'm at here, the Bible is preached. The whole truth is given to me. I'm thankful that our teachers are teaching children in the classes the whole truth. I'm thankful that we have a Christian school that teaches the whole truth. I'm glad we don't have a Bible that the kids are memorizing scripture for where they wonder, why is that verse not there anymore? How come we went from verse 24 to verse 27, Brother Nichols? Why is that? Oh, well, you know, we didn't like those, and so they took them out. They're just not very fun verses, you know, to follow. I'm glad I don't have to explain that. I can put my head on a pillow knowing, hey, it may be hard, some of the things in here to follow, but it's what God wants us to do. It's the truth. And no matter what, I don't care how offended people get, if he's not offended, I think we're doing okay. Christ reigns over the church. Christ does not deserve a corner of your heart. He deserves the whole heart. Hey, a slice of our week is not enough. He needs all of your week. Every moment you get, have an opportunity to talk to him. Number four tonight, Christ reconciles. And lastly, Christ reconciles sinners by his blood. Christ reconciles sinners by his blood. Boy, this morning we talked about there is a fountain filled with blood. That young lady, her friend that was next to her this morning, I never thought about this, but someone who doesn't know much about church or the Bible or the blood of Jesus, there is a fountain filled with blood. If you could have seen her face this morning when she heard that phrase being sung, what kind of place am I in right here? I got up and kind of said a little bit about the fountain of blood and what it kind of means. So she kind of wondered a little bit. She probably never heard of Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us and how important the blood is for us and the power behind that blood. Man, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. Man, I'm thankful. God did not owe rebels. He did not owe rebels like you and me salvation. I don't deserve it, but for some reason he forgave me and he handed me salvation, gave me that free gift. Yet the Creator, he came down and made peace through the blood on the cross. Verse 20 does not mean everyone will be saved. Go to verse number 20. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That does not mean that everybody will be saved. It means the cross will have the final word. Believers will be brought back to God. Creation will be set right, and every enemy will bow down to Christ. Nothing will remain outside of his will. Christ's finished work is something I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to see what God has in my future. I'm looking forward to see what God's finished work is for my kids. I'm looking forward to see what God has in store for my grandkids someday, if he doesn't come back before then. Man, I'm thankful for what came all the way down to me, and I can't wait to see what can happen after me. Man, you realize that you're a huge part of the work of God? You realize, think for a moment, how many churches are closing around America? How many people out there are not really quite wanting the truth? They're wanting a gospel that just comforts them. So we've got churches that are filling up their churches by not preaching the truth because, boy, people come in the doors and people come and stay because we're patting them on the back and we're comforting them and we're getting them to smile in church, not getting anyone convicted anymore. And all of a sudden churches are filling up, but the Bible and the doctrines of the Bible are going out the door. The name of Jesus is spoken about, but truth has walked out the door. The Bible has walked out the door. We've kept a few pages to preach from, the easy things we've kept. And it's happening all across America. Listen to me tonight. We live in an area where, praise the Lord, we've got some other good churches here in the area. But not every area in America is like that. What if you have a son or a grandson that God wants to use somewhere else? Amen. And your example could be a huge part of God uses them or not. What if you have a grandson or a granddaughter or a son or a daughter that quits because of what kind of Christian you were? Because of how important you made Christ in your life. You realize the importance that God has placed you and me as parents, as adults. I don't care who you are in this church. Young people are looking up to you. Man, if you have any opportunity at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to work on a bus ministry or teach a Sunday school class in any way, and you're helping in some way, God put you there for a reason, and he's got people looking up to you as an example. Where is Christ in your life? Do young people, they can see right through you, and they can tell how real you are. They can tell the preparation you really put into a Sunday school lesson. They can tell, man, what they preach, what they teach, it is real in their life. There's no question about it. Hey, the cross was not an accident. It wasn't a defeat. It wasn't just merely an example of love. It was the altar where the Lamb of God shed his blood and made peace for guilty sinners like you and me. If you believe that, say amen. Man, the gospel does not tell sinners to make peace with God. Christ made peace through his blood. Man, a fountain filled with blood. Thankful for it. Does Christ have the preeminence? Paul has lifted our eyes above every small view of Jesus. The gospel calls us to believe. We've got to stop fighting the God who offers peace. Stop treating the cross as insignificant. Lay down our rebellion and trust Christ's finished work. Pass it on, like we talked this morning, to your children, to your grandchildren. Man, if you're 70, 80, 90 years old, you probably feel like you're just on the sidelines doing nothing for the Lord. Stay faithful. Don't give up. Let your grandchildren see you reading the Bible. Let your grandchildren hear you sing God's songs. Let your grandchildren hear you talk about how good God has been throughout your life and how he brought you through the tough things in your life. Share it with them. Don't just sit on the sidelines and do nothing. Finish these last few days in a strong way so that the next generation can carry it on. I'm going to ask you a couple questions and we're done. Does Christ have the preeminence in your thoughts, or does fear dominate your mind? Does Christ have the preeminence in your schedule, or does he receive only what is left? Does Christ have the preeminence in your home, including your words and your attitude? Does Christ have the preeminence in this church, or do personalities and preferences compete with his word? Does Christ have the preeminence in your salvation, or are you trusting anything else besides his blood? Where is Christ in your life? Not just what you're saying. Because there's a lot of churches that will say Christ is the center. Christ is the priority. Hey, our actions prove how important he is in our life. Your daily walk proves how important he is in your life. I just beg and ask you as a church, as parents, as grandparents, as leaders, as teachers, as bus captains, as bus workers, as bathroom cleaners, wherever God has you serving, is Christ above everything? Because if he's not, what are we doing? What are we doing? Christ should be above everything. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for some reason caring about us. In spite of our wickedness, Lord, in spite of our sins, and in spite of the things that we've done to disappoint you, for some reason, Lord, you decided to forgive us, and you decided to care about us enough to send your son Jesus to die on the cross. Lord, I pray that as seasoned Christians in this room, we would not forget what you did for us and what is expected from us, Lord. I'd pray that we'd live a life that looks like we are trying to do everything we can to pay you back, even though we could do many great things and never get to a point where we've paid you back, Lord. I pray that we do everything we can to serve you, have a relationship with you. Lord, we owe you the time. We will spend more time on our phone and on gadgets and on fun and on games and our hobbies than we will with you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would look at earth from heaven's viewpoint, Lord, and say, what am I doing with my life? I need to get more serious, Lord. I need to get my life. I need to be in my Bible. I need to study my Bible. I need to get some things from God that I've not gotten before. I'm treating the Christian life like a game, like it's casual. Lord, I pray that tonight we look at what Paul was saying. Christ should be above everything. You should be a priority above all that we have so that our children, our grandchildren see that you're real and we believe you're real and we have true, real faith in our lives.